Welcome to the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast, where we go inside what makes a coach a coach. The Guardians of the Game podcast is a production of the National Association of Basketball Coaches and Learfield IMG College, brought to you by Wilson Sporting Goods. And now, here's your host, Dave Odom.
Welcome back to another edition of the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast. Today's guest is the highly successful coach of the Dayton Flyers, Anthony Grant. Anthony, congratulations on your start so far, but and also your experience at Dayton. We want to talk about that, but you're off to a great start this year.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate you guys having me on, and it's good to talk to you.
Okay, let's go back to when you were a kid running the streets there in Miami, and you know, it's a football environment. At least people think that down in Miami. And here you were, a young high school student, and you had what turned out to be a great high school coach who knew a lot about the game of basketball and did a lot for the people in the Miami senior area. Tell me about growing up in Miami back in your era.
Yeah, well, Coach, I grew up in an area of Miami called Brownsville, Brown Sub area, and actually got involved in the game late. I didn't start playing basketball until I was about in seventh grade. Went to a private school, Berlin Jesuit Prep, and my brother had gone there before me. He was a senior when I entered middle school in seventh grade, and I saw some big guys on the court playing ball, and they kind of piqued my interest and kind of fell in love with it. I was like most kids in Miami at the time, you know, it was all about football. And, you know, once I discovered the game, fell in love with it and played a couple of years there, and then got the opportunity to meet some people that were affiliated with Miami Senior High. And growing up in Miami at the time, there was no college basketball. University of Miami didn't have a basketball team. There was no Miami Heat in existence. So the main thing you would see in the newspapers when you picked it up was what was going on in high school sports. And, you know, Miami High at the time had some really, really dynamic players. A guy named Vernon Delancey, who, in my opinion, is the most talented, probably best player to ever play at Miami Senior, probably outside Doug Atwood. But he was really, really talented. And another young man named Tony Rogers, who was a senior when I got there as a sophomore. Those guys had really good teams at the time. There was a legendary coach there by the name of Vince Schaefer, who had won over 700 games in his career. And Shaky Rodriguez was his assistant and a head JV coach. And I went there and had a chance to develop a relationship with Shaky. And he was like a second father to me. So I played a few games with him on JV. And he was also assistant varsity coach. And then I got moved up and played varsity as a sophomore. So got involved in that family, and that really really catapulted my career. Just learned how to work, learned how to be dedicated to something bigger than yourself. And he was really instrumental in just my development and my love of the game, and all the opportunities I had thereafter.
You know, Coach Rodriguez is he's kind of a national figure at the high school level. I hear a lot of coaches that have, been in and around him. They all talk about what a great influence he's been on the game of basketball, not only in the Miami area, but I think nationally. I mean, his name is just known. What made him, what makes him special?
Well, he's just probably one of the most driven people that you'll ever meet. And, you know, you talk about his success. When you look at high school basketball, you know, and especially in that era, to be a public school and to dominate the way that Miami High did at that time, we ended up, I think when I was there, when I went back after I finished playing at the University of Dayton, I went back as an assistant. And for a five-year stretch, we were ranked in the top 5 or 10 in the country every year. And for a public school to be able to do that, it's unheard of. And, that's a credit to who Shaky is and, just his knowledge of the game the demands and the discipline that he teaches guys, the love that he shows all of his players. He's actually still coaching. He's at a high school down there, and really, you know, he was at Miami High, won, gosh, 5 or 6 state championships, went on and coached at FIU, and I think he may be the winningest coach at FIU during his tenure there. And then coached at Dr. Kropp, took them to a state, 1 or 2 state state title games, and now he's at another high school, Mater in Miami, and he's doing extremely well down there. So, you know, success leaves clues, and everywhere he's been extremely successful, and he's been the one constant factor in it. So he's, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame, one of the best to ever do it. And so, yeah, I've been very, very fortunate to have a chance to play for him and to get my coaching career started with him as well.
Well, I know he's got to be proud of you. Do you stay in contact with him from time to time, every chance you get?
Oh, yeah, we'll talk for the year. And you know, like I said, he's busy coaching his team, and he actually does the clinic every year. You know, Frank Martin and I were high school classmates, and we both were assistant coaches on his staff. And obviously, Frank's the head coach now at South Carolina. Alan Edwards, who's the head coach at Wyoming. Clayton Bishakey, and Frank and I were assistants, you know, to Shakey while he played. So, you know, his tree is extremely large. And, yeah, so we stay in touch. And all of us this past year actually came back and participated in the clinic down there that he runs every year. So, yeah, he's the best man at my wedding. You know, he's just a special person in my life, and I know the lives of many that have had the chance to play for him.
Okay, so you had a really good career, good experience there at Miami, senior, and it was time for you to be recruited, and Dayton came calling, and you end up at Dayton. I know you must have had other offers as well. Why Dayton? Why Dayton? Why Anthony Grant going to Dayton? You know, it's up north, it's colder, and, you know, what gives there?
Yeah, so, you know, my senior year, Dan Hipsher was the assistant coach at Dayton at the time, and Dan had some relationships. I think he had coached at Miami-Dade Junior College for maybe a year and had developed some relationships with people in the South Florida area, and they told him about me. And when I went up to visit, Dayton was playing against DePaul, who I believe was number one in the country at the time. And, you know, it was an unbelievable environment in Dayton Arena. And I got a chance to experience that. I got a chance to spend some time with Coach Donaher, Coach Butler, obviously Coach Hipsher. And I just felt really comfortable with them at the time. There was a really dynamic player at Dayton, Roosevelt Chapman, who became the all-time leading scorer and still is in the history of the University of Dayton. He was going to be a senior when I walked in the door. So I just felt like from a basketball standpoint, it was a place that really loved, had a passion for basketball. You can tell with the environment in the arena. I felt like the coaching staff would be able to help me become the best version of myself, and I knew I'd be able to get a great education. And for my parents, that was really important. That was probably the most important thing to them, more than basketball. Obviously, basketball was my thing. For my parents, it was getting a good education and getting my degree. And so Coach Donaher and staff came in and guaranteed that they would hold me accountable to make sure I did what I needed to do in the classroom, and I was sold on the basketball, so it just seemed like the perfect fit.
Okay, so you know, you had a good career, a really good career at Dayton as a player. You averaged just over 11 points a game for your career. You went to the NCAA tournament. You experienced the NIT. So you know, you're kind of off and running there. But I got to believe, Anthony, you know, players and coaches like you, you know, the seed for what you want to do in the future is kind of spawned at a certain time. And, I mean, you really didn't have – maybe you thought you were going to the NBA, but there were some point in time you said, you know, my playing career is probably limited. I better think about something else. And that something else had to be coaching. Tell me when you began to think about that, because you've turned into such a really, really good coach. there are lots of things that go into that, and people that, try to influence you.
Yeah. You know, for me, Coach, to be honest with you, I really hadn't thought much about coaching. I got my degree at Dayton in business management, and when I got out, the first thing I did was obviously I sent some resumes out to different companies and thinking, okay, maybe I'll get into the business world. And in the meantime, like most players, when you finish, you want to play professionally. And I knew my opportunities in the NBA may be a long shot, but I thought maybe going overseas. So what I did is I played that summer. There was a league at the time called the USBL, and they played in the summers. And the Miami Tropics had just gotten a franchise that year. So I was able to go out and try out for that team, and I made the team. And we had a good summer and ended up winning the USBL championship, played with guys like World Be Free, Clinton Wheeler, Bobby Parks. Those guys ended up having some careers after that in the NBA. Obviously, World Be Free had an outstanding career before that and after that. But it was a great experience. And then at the end of that summer, you know, I was kind of in flux, didn't know if I was going to have opportunities to go overseas or what was going to be the next step for me. And I got a phone call from a high school coach in Miami that I knew from my days of playing there. And he called me up and just said, hey, listen, what do you think about coming out? And I can get you a job teaching here in the high school and want you to coach my JV and you can be my assistant on varsity. And that was the first time it ever even crossed my mind. And I said, Coach, I don't have a teaching certificate. And he said, well, come down and I'll get you in front of our principal and he can tell you what you need to do. You may have to take some classes to get certified, but I think we can make this work. So I did that. I went and met with the principal, and he set up an appointment for me to go downtown to the public school system and fill out some paperwork and do some things. And so I did all that, and then I went back, and I went over to tell Shaky, hey, listen, I got this opportunity. And Shaky just looks at me, and he says, hey, come with me. So I'll go with him. We go down to the principal's office at Miami Senior, my alma mater. He says, wait here. He goes and talks to the principal for about 10 minutes, walks out, and yes, he wants to see you. I walk in there, and he says, listen, if you're gonna teach and coach anywhere, you're gonna do it here. Okay. And that started my career. So I thought at the time, to be honest with you, I said I'll do this, and if an opportunity comes up where I can go overseas to play, and I'll do that. But you know, I also looked at it. I was 21 at the time. I looked at it as an opportunity to, you know, with the kids in the community where Miami High is located in Little Havana and the kids that come there from overtown, my experience at Dayton kind of opened my eyes to a different world than what a lot of those kids saw in Miami. So I thought, you know, this would be pretty cool. I get to stay involved in the game, and I also get to help some kids experience what I experienced coming out of Miami and maybe go on and play in college and who knows what opportunities that could present to them after that. So timing was great, you know, in terms of that opportunity being available for me. And then at the time, you know, Shaky had an outstanding group of guys in there, guys that went on and, you know, played at major colleges, and some went on and played professionally in the NBA overseas. So I had a chance to be a part of that group and help those guys achieve some of their goals and dreams. And that was really fulfilling to me, and kind of got my whetted my appetite for the profession. So getting a chance to help young people is really what this is all about. We had, as I mentioned earlier, an incredible staff, obviously, with Shaky leading the way, myself, Frank Martin, Artie Cabrera, who's one of my best friends and still is to this day, Mark Baranek. You know, that staff we had and the people that supported us, it was tremendous.
Yeah, that's a college staff there at least. I mean, there's a lot of basketball knowledge there. All right, so you get an opportunity. You go to Stetson for a year, but, you know, bigger things kind of laid in the offing out there. You got a phone call in 1994 from one Billy Donovan. I don't know if that's the first time you'd met him or if he had been around some of the recruiting while you were at Miami Senior. Tell us about, you know, when you met Billy and some of the things that happened. I mean, you were with him for a period of about 12 years off and on at Marshall in Florida and then later at the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. So, Coach, at the end of the day, it's really, you know, we say it a lot, but it's kind of a catchphrase, but relationships is really what it's all about. So I was at Miami Senior as an assistant to Shakey for 5 years and ended up taking a head high school job at Miami Central High School for a year. And had a young group, was really enjoying it. I think I was about 25, 26 years old at the time. And got a phone call at the end of my first year there from Dan Hipscher, who, as I mentioned earlier, recruited me to Dayton. Dan had just gotten a job at Stetson and called and offered me an opportunity to join his staff. And, you know, I really, you know, in the back of my mind, I thought maybe college coaching. You know, at Miami Senior, we had a bunch of guys come through to recruit our guys and, you know, seeing those guys and meeting them. You know, you kind of thought about it, but it wasn't something in the forefront of my mind. And then out of the blue, he calls and says, hey, I want to offer you a job. So for me, it was a decision whether I wanted to leave where I was, you know, and coaching those kids and trying to help them or, you know, pursue something that could be, you know, a great opportunity. And I elected to do that. So I went with him to Stetson. And then at the end of that first year, I got a phone call from Billy. And I knew Billy, obviously, because of the success he had taking Providence to the Final Four. And our USBL team actually played against his that summer that I mentioned earlier. So I knew of him. And then when he got the job, he reached out and said he'd have an interest in talking to me. And obviously that worked out. But at the end of the day, what happened there was Billy had gone to Miami Senior when he was an assistant at Kentucky to recruit Allen Edwards. And the people he met at Miami Senior told him of my relationship with all those kids. And at the time, I was at Miami Central. I had just taken that head high school coaching job. And they had mentioned him to me at that time. And obviously, so he was familiar with who I was, but we hadn't personally talked or met. And then when he got the job at Marshall, people had, I guess, recommended me again to him. So they kind of put us together, and we ended up having a chance to get together and speak. And he offered the job, and obviously that started, you know, a relationship there a lifelong relationship. We worked together 2 years at Marshall, and then fortunate enough to go to Florida with him. Was there for 10 years, and my last year there in 06, we ended up winning the national championship. So lifelong memories, and the relationships go way beyond basketball. And then having the opportunity to reconnect with him for a couple of years out in Oklahoma City was a blessing and a thrill as well.
What makes Billy special? I mean, I know he's a great basketball coach. I see his teams play. They play fast, but yet they're very, very fundamental. And he seems to me like he comes back each year with something different from an offensive standpoint. I mean, I know when I was at South Carolina and we were playing against the Gators, there were a lot of pick and roll. I mean, guys that, you know, you might have to defend three pick and rolls on the same possession.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you had some really good teams there. And I think the one thing that Billy is more than anything else is he's a lifelong learner, you know. And I think anybody that has been around him will tell you he's one of the best in terms of being able to hear a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different thought patterns, and be able to take those opinions and also have a strong conviction in terms of what he believes in, and being able to come out with something that really, I think, for the group ends up being the best thing. So, you know, whether it's, you know, a group that we had early in our tenure at Florida that, you know, was a team that was really, really good at pressing and from a defensive standpoint, creating the tempo that we needed to have to mask maybe some of the deficiencies we had offensively, or a group that was really, really talented that offensively, you know, could play, whether it was pick and rolls or just going inside. He was able to really understand what he had and maximize the talents of those people around him. And a tremendous communicator, relates well with really anybody. You know, I haven't met anybody that he hasn't been able to somehow find a way to connect with and get them to try to become what they needed to become to help themselves be great and to help the team be great.
2006, you got a call from Virginia Commonwealth, VCU. First opportunity to become a head coach at the college level. What was the adjustment like? What was the change like? You know, the old thing of you move over 12 inches from one chair to the other, it just changes your life. Did you experience that going into VCU?
I did. First time I experienced is when I became a head high school coach. And never forget, I'm at Miami-Dade North, and we've been there with our Miami High teams tons of times, and we would dominate the league. We had the best team in the league, and we'd sometimes put our high school team in the adult league to play against that competition, and we would win games in the adult league. So we were dominant. So when I became a high school coach, I had, you know, a bunch of puppies, some young guys that we weren't the dominant team in the league. So when I walked in there the first time with that group, never forget it. I'm walking and I'm kind of looking around the landscape, and there's like three or four courts, and they're all packed, and the place is really hopping, a lot of energy in the building. Bob Wetlick was the head coach at FIU at the time, and he slid up behind me, and it's like he read my mind. And he just whispered in my ear, he goes, "Boy, it's a big difference when you slide those 12 inches over." And I just turned and looked and like, holy cow, you read my mind. But no, when I got to VCU, you know, Doc Sanders was the retiring AD at the time, and so he was still around, and he was a tremendous resource for me, and just a great, great guy. And he helped me tremendously making that adjustment. And then Norwood Teague became the AD, and we had a tremendous relationship as well. But probably the biggest adjustment for me going from an assistant to a head coach, and I tell young guys this all the time, is just learning the time management, because you have so many things on your plate as an assistant. You can kind of focus on, hey, you know, I got my scout or recruiting, or, you know, I got these specific responsibilities. And as you know extremely well, coach, as a head coach, it's all on you. So anything that anybody has a question by, they run by you. So being able to manage your time was probably the biggest adjustment that I experienced, just not having enough time in a day to get everything done that you needed to get done, and you know, everything coming to you. So being able to get that under control was probably the biggest adjustment for me.
And you had three really good years there at VCU, and then the call came from the University of Alabama, SEC. You're familiar with the SEC. You'd been in it at Florida. You kind of grew up in and around it down in Miami. You know, you take the job at Alabama, and you know, you had some early success, NITs, some NCAAs. But let's be honest, it didn't end the way you wanted it to end. And so it was kind of the first taste of, you know, coaching disappointment. How did you handle that, Anthony?
Yeah, well, Jeff Van Gundy said this a long time ago, right? Most endings are bad endings. No matter what, when things end, they're bad endings. But, you know, for me, you know, I'm a man of faith, coach, and I believe that, you know, everything happens for a reason. We tried to do the best that we could in that situation. And at the end of the day, a change was made. And for me, a guy told me a long time ago, you never put a question mark where God puts a period. And so that ended. And so for me and my family, it was, hey, let's figure out what's next for us. And we understood at the end of the day, I think as coaches, sometimes we look at things in terms of like, we possess things, or things belong to us. And at the end of the day, you know, we're here to serve the players that are under us at the time, and try to do the best job we can to help, you know, the organizations achieve what they want to achieve. And what you want to do is you want to leave, whenever you leave a situation, no matter what circumstances, you want to make sure you left it in good shape for the guy that comes after you. You want to be a good steward of anything that you have. And that's just really what I believe in. So I tried to do that. And when it ended, hopefully the next guy came in and felt like there was a good culture in place. Obviously, every coach comes in and they want to do things differently. But in terms of the way we ran the program, I was very, very proud of my staff and the players that I had a chance to be a part of there. And then, you know, getting an opportunity to take a step back. I've got four kids. And as a coach, sometimes, you know, the ones that probably don't get enough of your time or the ones that live with you, the ones that are in your home. So for me, it was more about, okay, well, what do I want to do next? You know, at the time I had one that was graduating from high school and two in middle school, one getting ready to go to high school, and one in elementary. So trying to figure out what was next. And I think after maybe a month or so, said, you know what, I think I want to coach, you know, and let's just figure out what will be next. And shortly thereafter, Billy called me and said, hey, listen, Matt McCall is taking head coaching job at Chattanooga, and would you be interested in coming back? And my wife and I had actually been talking about, you know, just where we would move to. And we had spent 10 years in Gainesville, and she was like, well, if we could go back to Gainesville and have that be home base until we figure out what's next, that would be great. So, you know, it's funny how God works, and that just kind of worked out. So when that call came in, I told her, I go, yeah, I guess we are going back to Gainesville. So actually that happened for about 2 or 3 weeks. And we actually never moved to Gainesville, but I accepted the job with Billy to go back and be an assistant in Florida. And I was working for Florida from our home in Alabama. We wanted to allow my oldest to graduate from high school before we moved. The week that my wife and I were going to go down for a house hunting trip, Billy said, hey, you may want to just postpone that trip. I'm going to end up taking the Oklahoma City job, and I'd like you to come with me there. So that was a blessing. And when I told my kids, I said, listen, what do you guys think about going out to Oklahoma City? I think we were in the process, or maybe the year before, I can't remember the timing, or maybe that year, they had just watched Oklahoma City in the playoffs. In the playoff run, I think they were playing the Clippers, and you know, my kids were, you know, obviously big fans of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and watching the emergence of the young Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. You know, they were really getting into the NBA, so they were really excited, you know, with that opportunity. So, you know, that was a blessing in itself, just to be able to you know, have my family be a part of all of that.
Okay, as we wind down now, Anthony, let's just talk about just a minute about young coaches that are striving to get to where maybe you are now and in their own way. And I know when I used to run basketball camps, I would have high school coaches come up and say, Coach, what can I do to get to the college level? And, you know, for every coach that asks you that, there might be a different answer. But in truth, you know, hard work and contacts, and as you said earlier in the program today, it's who you know. What final advice would you give to young coaches who are listening? And one of the things I always try to talk to them about is get involved nationally, which is, you know, through the NABC or maybe the USA Basketball Association. What advice might you have?
Yeah, well, I think it depends on obviously what level you are. You know, you can talk to a lot of younger guys that may be coaching AAU or you know, high school that want to get into college. And, you know, obviously it's somewhat difficult, obviously, to go from being out of out of the business of college basketball to jump in. So, you know, just having the awareness that, hey, it could be a situation where you need to be willing to sacrifice, whether it's, going in as a volunteer or trying to get on as a GA or just some type of support role, just to be able to get your foot in the door and then work your way into a situation where you become valuable. And, you know, for younger guys that maybe, you know, GAs or support people in the business, I always say this, you know, do a great job where you are, no matter what your role is. And just be a star in your role and help the people that that you work with, help them be extremely successful. Okay? And when you do that, opportunities, you know, will present themselves. So sometimes guys get so caught up in trying to get the next job that they aren't doing the job that they currently have. So my thing is always, hey, just be great at what it is that you do. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, we've got, you know, managers and GAs and support people that help our assistant coaches in different ways. And our assistant coaches have relationships with other coaches all across the country. And some of them may become head coaches one day. So those relationships at the end of the day could end up proving extremely beneficial to guys that really just kind of lock in and be where their feet are and do a great job in the role that they currently have.
I want to take just a moment and thank everyone for tuning in to the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast. It's been a special time with a special guest, Coach Anthony Grant, the Dayton Flyer coach, and he's off to a great start this year. He's very busy, but he was kind enough to give us some time. And I know that everyone that listened and, got an awful lot from this, and it'll mean much in their life in the days to come. So, Anthony, good luck to your team this year. We'll be following it from afar. And to those that are listening and they want to know more about the NABC, then all they need to do is visit nabc.com.